Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
I found it necessary to write to you and exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. This is Matt Miller with Ron Kangas for our first life study of the Epistle of Jude. Ron, it's good to have you here with me today.
It's always good to be here. It's always fresh and invigorating to fellowship based upon the Word of God, the pure divine revelation recorded in the Scriptures. And it's also very heartening to fellowship with the aid of the interpreted Word, the Word of the ministry, the Word that focuses us and unlocks the Scriptures, so that we can enter into the depths of the Word. Jude, a little-known book, 1 chapter, written by someone who is not an apostle, but it has its place in the canon. And the verse you read is a crucial verse on contending for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. If all of the saints, that is all the believers in Christ Jesus, knew what the faith was and contended for the faith, not for what is not the faith, the Lord's cause on earth would be greatly advanced. We do need to contend for the faith. But if our contending for the faith is to be of benefit to the carrying out of God's purpose, we must know what the faith is. And I certainly hope that we will all be benefited, participants and hearers alike, from this ministry in the life study of Jude, focusing in this program, if I understand correctly, on the very verse that you read, Jude verse 3.
Well, Ron, you are correct. That is what we're going to focus on in this program. In the life study itself, Witness Lee actually covered all 7 verses in 1 through 7 of Jude. But in today's program, because of our limited time, we are going to focus just on verse 3, this monumental verse that focuses in on contending for the faith. And as you said, it's critical to know what is the faith. Let's go to Witness Lee and see what this is.
Now we come to the Epistle of Jude. Firstly, we have to see the subject of the book. That is the contending for the faith. Contending, a kind of fighting. We have to fight for the faith. Beloved, using all diligence to write to you concerning our common salvation. Common salvation is the general salvation common to and held by all believers, like the common faith. I found it necessary to write to you, entreating you to contend for the faith, once for all delivered to the saints. Be careful. I met quite a number of teachers and Christians that all quoted this verse in the wrong way. They understood that faith here refers to doctrine, contending for the doctrines, like head covering, like foot washing, like the way to baptize people. Through the years, I met quite a number of preachers, ministers, teachers, arguing with me very much concerning the head covering, the foot washing, and the way of baptism, even how to have the Lord's table with unleavened bread, even concerning the cup, a lot of arguments whether the cup should be the grape juice or grape wine, a lot of arguments. Well, surely faith is not that. Now, what is faith? Not subjective as believing, but objective as belief, referring to the content of the New Testament as our faith, in which we believe for our common salvation. This faith, not only doctrine, has been delivered once for all to the saints. For this faith, we should contend. We should fight.
Ron, that's a good point to stop and focus in on this distinction between the objective faith and the subjective faith, what we should fight for and what we should not fight for. I was even thinking of this matter as we were doing some radio programs in the last few days about the second coming of the Lord. We had a long program the other day with Bill Lawson about the coming of the day of God and going through all the events of the second coming. But this isn't a matter that we would fight for, is it?
Well, it's a matter that we should not contend for, because it is not part of what Paul calls the common faith. So let's have recourse to a very basic principle in studying the Scriptures, and that is to interpret the Bible by the Bible. And before the broadcast, I was coming over to the studio, and I was reminded of Titus chapter 1, verse 4, where Paul speaks of Titus as his child, spiritual child, according to the common faith. The common faith is the faith held in common by all genuine believers in Christ. And the common faith in Titus 1:4 equals the faith once for all delivered to the saints in Jude 3. And this is the faith spoken of in 1 Timothy 3, verse 9, where Paul speaks of holding the mystery of the faith. And this is the faith that Paul refers to in Ephesians chapter 4, where he speaks of arriving at the oneness of the faith. So what is the faith, the common faith, the faith once for all delivered to the saints? The faith, the common faith, the once for all delivered faith, consists of all the central revealed truths in which we must believe for our salvation. And these are central matters related to the one true and living God, to God's being eternally triune in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The faith refers centrally to the person of Christ. He is the complete God and a perfect man. The faith includes his redemptive death. He did not die merely as a martyr. He died a vicarious death as our substitute for our redemption. The faith includes the resurrection of Christ. He resurrected with a body, and he resurrected spiritually to be the life-giving Spirit. The faith includes matters such as these. It does not include the mode of baptism. It does not include whether the fruit of the vine used at the Lord's table is grape juice or wine. It does not include schools of interpretation concerning the rapture or the coming of the Lord, or whether or not there will be an actual 1,000-year kingdom. I personally believe, according to the Scriptures, that the overcomers will be raptured before the tribulation. Most of the believers will be raptured at the end of the tribulation. I personally believe there will be a kingdom on the earth of 1,000 years, the millennium. But by the Lord's mercy, I'm also clear, these are not items for which we contend. One may believe differently about these things and still have the common faith, the once-for-all delivered faith. So instead of contending with one another, and sadly that's been the practice for centuries, over doctrinal matters that are not part of the common faith, we need to contend for the faith in the face of all manner of heresies and deceitful teachings and lies and errors concerning the person of Christ and his redemptive death. So we need to contend, struggle, fight the good fight of the faith, as Paul would say, but we need to be clear what we're fighting on behalf of. If we're not clear, and maybe this illustration isn't apt, but I think it's somewhat helpful. If we're not clear, we may be like Peter in the garden, wielding the sword, thinking we're defending the Lord and his interests, and we only cause difficulty. So we should not shy away from contending for the faith once for all delivered. No, we should be devoted to it. We should concentrate on it. According to the structure of this verse, Jude apparently intended to write about the common salvation. But he found it necessary, we believe, under the Spirit's constraint and inspiration, to exhort them to earnestly contend for the faith once for all delivered. How about that? Earnestly contend. But sadly, so many believers have been earnestly contending for baptism, for whether or not speaking in tongues is the sign of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, for pre, post, partial rapture, for premillennium, postmillennium, no millennium. There is all this infighting in the house of God and not sufficient contending for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. What I find myself doing in this fellowship is releasing some kind of, maybe it's a burden or at least a feeling in the Lord, related to the believer's responsibility to earnestly contend for the faith, the common faith, the faith delivered once for all to all the saints.
Ron, I really appreciate that word, and I don't know what to say other than amen. Let's go on to another portion with Witness Lee.
You have two books, 2 Peter and Jude, here in this New Testament, warning us. We have to be fearful and trembling. And young saints, your day will be quite long, and your way will be quite a distance. You must look to the Lord all the time, on alert. I've sure learned this lesson. When I was young, I was warned. That was very good. I was warned to be careful, because this age is perverted, also perverting. You don't know who will come to you. So you must learn the word with a basic understanding. And this word will protect you. And this word, as Peter says, will be a shining lamp in the murky and dark place. Then when they come to you, you have the word within you, enlightening you, shining over you. Then you know their words are just lies. just heresies, blasphemies to the Lord. You would not listen to. Thank the Lord, in China, nearly the entire sphere of Christians has been protected by this kind of fighting. So the so-called modernism has never become prevailing in China. Of course, not only Wei, also some others in this aspect have been very faithful. We should have fought a good fight.
Ron, I like Witness Lee's warning word to the young ones here to be on the alert because the way will be quite long. Could you conclude today's program with your own word?
And in trying to do that, I would like to enter into Brother Lee's feeling and his thought toward the end. Let's just help our listeners to situate this word. It was originally given in the context of a training. It's not merely some kind of Bible teaching session, but a training. And we see something related to the principle of training in 2 Timothy 2:2, where Timothy is charged to commit the things he received to faithful ones who will then be competent to teach others also. So Brother Lee is quite aware of the young ones, that their day will be long, meaning their span of life in almost every case is just beginning. And the way, the course of their Christian life has a long distance to cover. So obviously he was concerned for them, and I would say even more concerned for God's interests in relation to the future responsibility to be borne by the young ones. So Brother Lee gave testimony of their experiences in China. And this is a fact, that they fought, they struggled, they contended earnestly for the faith. He even mentioned modernism did not prevail there in China, at least in the sphere where our brothers were operating and ministering. The saints there in the churches were far from passive. They were faithful to carry out this word in Jude 3. Now, with the young ones who will carry on this responsibility from generation to generation until the Lord comes, there needs to be an equipping with the word. And at this point, Brother Lee made reference to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, and we have the prophetic word made more firm, to which you do well to give heed as to a lamp shining in a dark place. That the word of God is a lamp to us. It's a lamp shining in a dark place. And the word of the truth needs to be given the place of preeminence in our being, as Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you, inhabit you, make its home in you richly. And this word is a lamp shining in a dark place. So let's apply this experientially first. The dark place is, first of all, in our own being, that we need to be totally illuminated by the lamp of the Word of God. And a verse such as Jude 3 is a bright ray in this lamp, showing us there's something called the faith, once for all delivered to the believers. And we pointed out in our earlier fellowship, this is the common faith, the faith containing the crucial elements of the divine revelation. Well, the enemy does not want this faith to be proclaimed. He does not want people to be saved. He does not want the believers to arrive at the oneness of the faith. He is a deceiver, a liar. And let's face the obvious fact that we are living in an age of darkness with very significant spiritual activity of the enemy, so many cultic notions, New Age concepts, heretical ideas in the popular culture, even adopted by so-called churches. We have a responsibility, and the young ones, and in any army, it's the young men and women that do much of the direct fighting. The young ones need to be willing to pick up this responsibility, not, as we indicated through the example of Peter in the garden, not of recklessly, wildly wielding the sword of the word and debating over partial rapture, pre-trib, post-trib, amillennial, premillennial, post-millennial. That has to stop. But we owe the Lord, for the sake of the sanctification of His name on the earth, we owe the Lord our best cooperation to be enlightened by the Word, to be constituted with the truth, to be clear concerning the difference between the faith and secondary doctrines. Then we need to be energized, empowered, and motivated to contend for this faith, and not merely to contend, but to earnestly contend against all heresy, against all Antichrist spirit, no matter how dark the situation may be. We, the people of God, carrying out the warfare of God, must earnestly contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. We do not need something else delivered to us. All that we need has been delivered to us already and is written down in the Word, and the ministry opens up what has been written down. Now what has been delivered, written down, and opened up needs to be the rich deposit in our being and in the being of all the dear young ones.
Ron, it's been a pleasure having you with me. Our time's up. This is Matt Miller. Thanks for joining us today on Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee.